You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks alongside the two greatest brothers of all time, at least because they're on live with me, I have to say that. James and Chris, my name is Ryan Chambers. This is Starcastic Remarks, and we are here to talk about several things in this one-hour episode that we're trying to get started back up again. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that pick six option the next time you go and you are there. Let's them know that we are the ones that sent you, and you can get a couple of special discounts and things there. First off, guys, how's it going tonight? Y'all doing okay?
It's going great. I love the day after a loss. It feels so good.
Always the best.
So give me the quick rundown real quick, because to be honest with you, I've legitimately not even had the chance to even watch the game. So what's like it? Was it as bad as they said? It sounded like the first two periods were boring and the third period was exciting, but not in a good way.
Yeah, the first two periods were boring. Then the third period, the Dallas Stars did what the Dallas Stars do all season, and they done flubbed it. So they didn't score, and then they let the other team score right after they did score finally. So, yeah. It was a very Dallas Stars game. Oh, and we didn't score on the power play, too. So imagine everything that's been going wrong this season. That happened last game.
Typical. So I remember listening to you guys very briefly when I had the opportunity to. So four losses in the last six after a seven-game winning streak. So not all that great, but at the same time, if you look at it this way, they're 9-4 in the last 12, so it's still a positive thing. And they were... for a majority of that time, doing it without three top six forwards. Now, Hintz has returned, and from what I'm guessing and from what I heard, he wasn't really all of that noticeable last night, but, you know, not exactly his fault, considering he's coming back from an injury. But I'm not ready to panic yet on all of this.
Yeah, he definitely tried to make himself heard, but it was not working. He was clearly not all the way up to speed yet.
What was that look for?
It was either a massive fart outside or someone just moved some furniture.
Sorry, I got totally distracted by that. Okay, anyways, let's talk about the real things that we're here to talk about tonight. And I was, you know, after Wednesday night's episode last week, I was kind of thinking, okay, well, we kind of did the State of the Stars. What are we going to kind of talk about? And as the week went on, they gave us some pretty juicy stuff. The world did, the hockey news did. And that is, maybe I'm a little bit surprised by this, but I feel like it's a little early that we're hearing about all of these trade rumors and stuff like that. And it's like, I know that it's, you know, the trade deadline's only in like, you know, 6-7 weeks or something like that. But it feels like a lot of these trade rumors and these trade speculations and all this stuff is starting a little early. Just me?
I think it kind of makes sense. There's always a couple of midseason trades that happen in the NHL, and especially when a team like Dallas, who's ready to take a big step towards the cup, has some cap space available, that gives the option for some really good players to waive some no movement clauses to go and try to win a cup. So I don't think it's too surprising, especially with how much cap space we got.
The other thing you're seeing is one division having like eight teams in the running for two wild card spots, and the other division has like two for one. So it's a little like the West pretty much knows already who's going to be in the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay. So as we're going through this, sorry, Cooper just handed me a chip just off camera, so I'm going to eat it now. But anyways, main thing we're here to talk about here tonight is the fact that there have been three players in particular that we have been hearing in rumor mill when it comes to the Dallas Stars. And yes, we could speculate about other players, which we will, but the three main ones we have heard, and I'm not surprised by two of them, and one of them I am a little bit surprised by. Brock Nelson, we've been hearing that, I don't want to say all year, but his name has kind of popped up quite a bit with the Stars, yes. So that, and again, that doesn't really surprise me. That is a player that is very similar to Ryan O'Reilly in a way. Now, without the Stanley Cup pedigree, but he makes a lot of sense. He can play center. He can play wing. He's 34. He's been there, done that. He is a fixture in a forward group that is actually surprisingly very young. So I think that could be a good pickup for the Stars. We've seen also Mr. Texas Hockey himself, but he was born here, Seth Jones, and there are rumors that he could be possibly connected to the Stars. Now, if I'm being fair about that, it was more speculative from the Hockey Insiders, but Hockey Insiders kind of speculate. Normally, there's something there, somewhat. So, I think it was Jeff Merrick on the sheet with a Daily Faceoff. So I thought that was interesting. And then, guys, who was the third guy that some people are talking about?
JT Miller. He was high in the conversations earlier this week.
So that's an even more interesting one, because obviously if you're a hardcore hockey group like we are, you've been paying attention to the whole drama field stuff that's going on in Vancouver right now between him and Elias Pettersson, and it looks like Elias Pettersson has kind of lost out, and it looks like JT Miller is probably going to be on the move. Earlier in the week, it looked like the Rangers had some sort of trade between the two, and that fell through at the last second. He was almost even kept out of the lineup, and we're not sure what happened at this point, but what would a trade for – well, I guess we should say this first. Let's say this first. What would JT Miller bring to the Dallas Stars that we are missing right now that you think would be a good thing?
Well, he can score, and he can score on the power play. So that's the number one thing that they're looking for in a forward, just someone who can put the puck in the net. They got a lot of good players and a lot of good playmakers that can't score. So any more help that they can get there so that they don't run into what happened in the playoffs last year with Edmonton, where they just ran out of firepower, couldn't score a goal to save their life, that would be beneficial. Now, the weird thing, and why it's weird to see JT Miller's name in this conversation, and same with Seth Jones, is the amount of term left on the contract and just the value of these contracts. Because it's true the Stars have $10 million of cap space this year once Sagan goes on LTIR, but that's going to be gone next year, and it's actually going to be more than gone because we're going to have a couple players that are going to be re-signed too. So both of those players have really high contracts with a lot of term left, and they don't make a ton of sense, but we've heard from reliable sources that Dallas is in talks for them. So it's interesting.
What do you think, James? Because I have my thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts first.
I think this is probably something that Jim Knoll, obviously these are players that you want on your team if you can. A big thing with Jim Knoll is going to be how does he get them for as little cap space as possible, right? And balancing that with what you have to give up with that, and just knowing that the past couple of years it just has not been enough. And I think every time in the playoffs so far, it's been because of scoring that the Stars have fallen short. So looking at these guys who can go and score big goals, it's definitely a new look at the very least. And that's kind of what the Stars need, I feel, because they've tried the lesser known pickups, and then they tried the big defensive pickup with Tanev last year. Both times didn't work. So gotta try something else.
I don't want to say that it didn't work, because
they didn't win the cup. That's what the moves were for. The moves were to win the cup.
Okay, so the first year, I would say that the expectation was not there for the Stars to win the cup. I think we were great. Say what you said again.
The moves are made to win the cup, regardless of expectations or not. He did those moves to make them, help them win a cup.
Okay, that's fair. I like your argument there. Okay. However, I wouldn't call it a failure. Obviously, at this point, there's only one team that can view their season as a success in all reality. Even the teams that are really bad, that their young guys get a lot better and they get 20 points better in the standings. Like, that, some people, they would view that as a success. But in all reality, there's only one winner. That's it. So I don't think it's quite fair to say that, you know, it's a failure or whatever. But regardless of it, let me get back to go ahead, James, and I'll get back to JT.
I think it's fair because trades made at the trade deadline are made for the playoffs. I mean, that's what they're made for. It's nothing else.
Yeah, rentals are only to try to win the cup. I agree with that.
Okay. All right, so fair enough. All right. So, Chris, actually, you were the one that kind of convinced me to go more on the fence here because I was on one side of the JT Miller thing. My thought process was it doesn't make a lot of sense for a Dallas organization that values character almost more than anything. I mean, look at the coach that we brought out of, you know, college to come and, you know, lead this team. And it was Monty Montgomery who came out, and as good as he was, he had some demons in the closet, and Neil warned him and he fired him, you know. And to his credit, to Neil's credit, he stuck to his guns with the whole character thing. Now, so that's why my first initial thought was the Miller trade doesn't make any sense, because this guy has had some, I don't want to say he's like a bad guy, because he's not, but he's got some drama that follows him, if that makes any sense. However, you did say that everyone said the exact same thing about Tyler Seguin when Tyler Seguin got traded here. So that was a great point, and I liked that you said that.
And multiple players too. I mean, Suter, Duchesne, I mean, Stroud had a lot of players like that they've been able to come in and actually turn them into leaders.
And the other thing that I did think about too, and I might have been you, if there's any squad in the league that could turn a bad guy into a positive player, it's the Dallas Stars locker room right now. I mean, I wish you guys could see these guys every time I walk in there, but they always seem like they're buddies, like that there's nothing negative between them. And even if there is, they're hiding it pretty well, which is great. But, you know, JT Miller, if you can get him for like dirt cheap, and I'm talking like, you know, something, and we can get into this now, like Lundqvist in a second or and Dumbo or something to make the money work. And he's a guy that could be nasty in the playoffs. He can be somebody that can, you know, get people going if they're just down in the dumps, which we've seen a lot of that lately with the Stars. They can't seem to get over the hump if they can't get going or whatever. This guy could be a real asset to your team. So I'm sorry, that's a lot to talk. I'll let you all unpack that. Go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, JT Miller potentially being a good fit and helping power play and helping scoring is kind of where it stops making sense. I mean, after that, not much left of it makes sense. He's getting $8 million a year. He still has 5 years left on his contract. He's under contract until he's 36, which is when decline is going on in a player for the most part. And the Stars have a lot of contracts coming up that they need to sign still. I mean, they got Johnson coming up. They got Stankovic coming up. Bork's going to come up eventually. And if he keeps getting better, he's going to be needing some pretty heavy payment. And then that's not even taking into account how much JT Miller is actually going to cost. He's not going to cost Lundqvist in a second. He's not. It's going to be something more like Bork or something more like Bischel or something like that. And I just think the amount that you're going to give up for a guy that doesn't necessarily fit the cap space that the way you want to use it just isn't really worth it.
And that's where I agree with you, that I was kind of buying into it a little bit after your tweet that you put out there on the sarcastic remarks thing. And then I kind of was thinking, okay, maybe I could see him giving a chance. But then for all the things you just listed, that's exactly why, as a Shark, I'm out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't make any sense long term for the Stars. If he was like a rental and he was going to be dirt cheap and it was like, you know, they'd be willing to retain 50% and we'd be able to get him for like $4 million, great. For absolutely. Sure. This would be almost a slam dunk for me at this point. But it, none of it makes sense based off of the term, the players we'd have to give up, the guys that are due money, including Jamie Benn, who is getting coming off a contract. Wyatt Johnson is going to get a giant raise. So it's hopeful thinking, but it doesn't make any sense.
Right, and there's other guys that have better numbers this year that don't have the locker room issues that would be more affordable. So I don't get why the Stars are so connected to those talks, and maybe it is just rumors being rumors, but they're pretty loud.
All right, anything else to add to that, James?
No, I think y'all pretty much got everything there. Yeah. Okay. It would be cool, but it doesn't make sense.
Right. And I'll connect that to the Seth Jones contract, too, just so we can knock both of these birds out.
Okay, hold on. 1 second before you do that. If we did go out and get JT Miller, what do you think he would cost? Like, you mentioned Bork, but it wouldn't just be Bork or just Stankoven. What else do you think the package would entail?
It would be Bork in a first or Bischel in a second is what I'm thinking. And that's with no retained salary, which if he's $8 million, you probably want to retain some so you can try and go get a forward or try and go get a defenseman too.
And that's the only thing that I would say is going to be different if you're going to Chicago. Chicago is going to be more willing to retain some of that Seth Jones contract.
Okay. Yep. So, all right. Now we can go ahead and segue into it. Okay. Seth Jones. The more I think about Seth Jones, the more it kind of makes some sense. All right. I don't like the cap hit whatsoever. Let's be honest. It, at $8 million, that's what he's getting paid for in Chicago is as a number one guy.
He is $9.5 million.
Excuse me. I don't know why I thought he was $8 million.
Because JT Miller's $8 million. You got him flipping.
Yes, there you go. Okay.
To be fair, so, he plays 25 minutes a night for the past, like, okay. like 10 years.
So, yes. So let's talk about why, just like we did with JT Miller, what would he bring to the Stars that would make sense for the Stars? Why would they go out and get him?
He shoots right. He plays a lot of minutes.
Those are it.
And it would be cool to have a Texas guy on the roster. And, let's be honest.
You know, maybe you throw him on the power play unit too. I mean, he does it. He's done it for the Blackhawks for the longest time. I know they're giving some other younger defensemen some chances on that now too, but I mean, he's someone who has done it a lot, and for how much I love Miro, he's just not working out this year on the power play unit. He's not picking up points like he normally does, and it's about time that it's changed, honestly.
Okay, well here's the problem though. You don't go out and guess that Seth Jones just because he can play on the power play. Because
but he also shoots right and needs minutes.
And that's fair. Those two are fair. Okay, so that's what I wanted to make clear. Is when you've got two other guys, I would argue two other guys, maybe even three, that probably deserves a chance over going out and getting a right-handed defenseman that could play on the power play. Like, Harley deserves the first shot. Nils probably further down. And I would even say Essa, maybe to a certain extent, could probably play some power play time if you absolutely wanted to. But I mean, he seems like he would be a very good number two guy. That's the way that I'm kind of viewing Seth Jones at this point. And what I'm talking about is not a number two guy in terms of like time on ice, but a guy that could probably play with Miro Heiskanen. And we've talked about it so often, so many times. If Miro can just play on a strong side, which he has for a good chunk of this season, and they finally pushed it. But if they could go out and get a guy that's just a little bit older than him and maybe could, like you guys said, eat minutes just like he does, that could go a long way.
Yeah. And again, that's where it stops making sense, because he's making $9.5 million. He shouldn't be making that much. He should be making six. If he was left-handed, he'd be making six for sure. the Hawks aren't going to retain 50% for the next 5 years. I mean, that's not something that's going to happen. That's too long. They're looking to be a good team in 3 years. They're trying to be a bubble team in 3 years. So they're not going to want to retain that much for that long. And if they don't retain that much for that long, you're just not going to fit under your cap unless the salary jumps.
Also, though, the longer you hold on to Seth Jones, the worse he's going to get. And the contract that's going to become even worse. And then he's really going to be untouchable.
Yep, Seth Jones already 30, so...
Yeah, it's not. He's in his. Well, I don't want to say. I guess he is in his.
He's in his prime right now.
Yeah, yeah. He is definitely on the back half of his career.
Back half of the prime. Yep.
Yes, back half of the prime. Okay. So, and I guess we can go ahead and just speculate on this. What would a trade package look like for Seth Jones? For me, I think it would be much, much less than it would be for JT Miller. But that's just me speculating.
I think it would be less, but the only way that it would make anywhere near sense for the Stars is if they retain a good bit of the salary, or they take some garbage away from us. So maybe it's Bork and a first and Dumba, and you eat some of that salary for us. That way we can go get a forward. But I think because they're going to have to retain salary, or they're going to have to take one of our cap sponges, it is going to be the same as JT Miller, because they're going to have to take someone like that to make his salary make any kind of sense. But again, both of these I would say no to.
Well, and the only reason why we're talking about it is because we've just heard it in the media.
These are the two that have the most rumors around them, and they're the two that make the least sense to me. Super surprising.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? To Jim Nill's credit, he says he always goes out and he looks for stuff. And I mean, it could have been just as simple as, hey, yeah, I heard you're obviously looking at trading one of these guys away. What do you want for him? If you were to, you know, make a trade with me, and he could have just been kicking the tires, and that's all he was doing.
Yep.
I mean, that's a good GM doing his due diligence, because if you can make something work and get something like that for dirt cheap and they retain salary or something like that, why not? Like, yep. I mean, like Jim Nill absolutely did his due diligence when he went out and got Tyler Seguin and Jason Spezza and Patrick Sharp. And he's done a really fine job, and I don't want to say fleecing other teams, but definitely being on the better half side on a lot of these trades.
He finds the good deals for the most part. Agreed.
Yes. And he doesn't, and the other thing is he doesn't overpay for bad ones. Most of the time, I should say. Most of the time. Like, I mean, Evgeny Dodonov, that great trade is absolute, like, that was 2 years ago.
Probably and one of his it, best he, trades.
Yes. It is, I would say it's probably his absolute best trade. Because you just traded away a guy who's okay. Okay, man, I'm a little bit of recency bias, I guess, but still, the fact that this guy is playing on the top line right now because of all the injuries, he is exceeding expectations. He's 34. He's putting up the points he is, and the guy we traded him for is not even in the league anymore. I don't even know if he's in the AHL anymore. So he's just a fantastic trade, and so. He's just been really good, and that's why I think both of those guys, JT Miller and Seth Jones, are just kicking the tires for those two players.
Agreed.
So now, Ardell, I'll agree with you though. Martin Hansel, that was a bad signing.
Hasn't had the best signings, but trades. Yeah. Find a bad trade. I don't think there's very many bad trades.
Yes. Yes.
Now let's talk about some players that would actually make sense and be good on the Stars. So
what do you want to talk about, some names you've got, or do you want to talk about the,
well, I was going to let you talk about Ryan O'Reilly first, as long as you promise to be short.
Yes, I will.
You got a whole article on it.
Yeah, I do. Well, first off, what I should mention is Robert Tiffin. He writes on his own Substack. He did a great in-depth look about why like Seth Jones would make sense and how it would make sense. And he came to the conclusion that it didn't make sense, but still it's a really good article. Go and read it. It's up for free, and he does a really great job. So that's where I got a lot of information. Okay. Anyways, Ryan O'Reilly, I still think he's the guy. It makes so much sense to me that the cap hit makes sense. The fact that he's on a really rough team right now makes sense. He's in his mid-30s. He's still fairly productive for what he's being asked to do. And at $4 million, it's fantastic. You don't even have to retain salary, I think, if you can make the numbers work correctly. You might even have to put Tyler Seguin on LTIR to make the move work, if you can make it work correctly. he fits the culture. And okay, Ardell is really like reading my mind. He fits the culture of the Stars right now. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's a Conn Smythe. I mean, what more can you want from a player? Now, with that being said, obviously, if I'm thinking about it, there's, you know, 31 other GMs or whoever else is in the playoffs that are also thinking the same thing probably about this guy. And the other thing is that after that my little blog post article went out on the Sarcastic Remarks website, then it was about a week or two later that they put, well, okay, he might be available. And it was kind of put out there that he's kind of got like this no move clause. He doesn't actually have a no move clause, but the way Barry Trotz is treating it is that if Ryan O'Reilly wants to go and it makes sense for him, then he will make that trade for Ryan O'Reilly to go. But if Ryan O'Reilly does not want to go, he's going to veto the trade regardless. So he's still my most interesting guy. I love the guy. He makes a lot of sense. I'm done. There's my spiel.
Yeah, I mean, it does make sense. The extra year that he'll have, so he's in year 2 of 4, so he'll have 2 extra years that we have to figure the cap around. That will be a little bit difficult. It likely means you're for sure losing Duchesne, even if he takes the same $3 million pay cut. So
not at $4 million, though, because, again, you have to remember that they're talking about extending the cap even higher and further. Right. Because of how well the NHL is doing. I think they're like up to $6.5 or $7 billion projection at this point.
Yeah, if the cap does that 2 years in a row, yeah, it would work. That's still to be seen, though. So you're kind of banking on nothing. Dang it, I had another thing I was going to talk about. I can't remember. James, what do you think about it?
I mean, it's always nice to get another veteran presence like that in the locker room. I'm not sure how much, like, goal scoring wise he actually solves. It just seems like another 20 goal scorer to add to the pile. You know, we have 8 of them. So
that's been a problem this year. That, I mean, not so much right now, maybe a little bit because of the guys that are out, but
we're still going to end up with 6 or 7 people with 20 goals. And I don't understand how, because it hasn't worked. We had like 8 last year and it still didn't work.
We just needed one more. We would have got past the oil.
We just needed exactly. 10, James.
Yeah. But I mean, it's, I really think you need someone who can score more than that.
Well, in all actuality, I'll kind of take Ryan's side on this one. The Stars don't have that superstar player. Like, this is probably the best team that has the worst top players. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude about that. I think our top players are better defensively than a lot of other people's top players, but scoring wise, the Stars top players are lower than most other cup contenders. So maybe it is just pile on the 20 goal scorers and do what the Blues did 2019. I know we keep talking about what the Blues did when we're sick of that, but
it's a miracle run too, is what it was.
It was a miracle run too.
It's
and
not
yeah,
the
all
same
that,
team.
But
the season already isn't the same as theirs.
But maybe that's just what you're trying to replicate if you don't have a top player. Another guy who's like Ryan O'Reilly, who might make some more sense and is the other namesake of the title of this video, is Brock Nelson. He is a UFA next year. He's a little bit older, a little bit bigger, has about the same points, same kind of leadership stuff, I think, too. What do you see as the difference between those two, Ryan, if you had to pinpoint one?
Between O'Reilly and Nelson?
Yeah.
I like both of the guys. I like the way that Brock Nelson plays. He reminds me a lot of Jamie Benn.
Yeah.
He's got that power forward-esque that's kind of dying in the NHL now. But
which is very playoffy.
It is very playoffy. That is very true. So that's a guy that can play that. But O'Reilly can play that way as well. He's got that playoff ability. And his defense, honestly, O'Reilly's defense is better than Nelson's. And
we
then,
don't need defense. Yeah, I mean, like we keep like, looking at this. I just go, and the first thing that I do is I just go look at stats because that's what I do. That's what I like doing.
Goal
Brock, Brock Nelson is scored 30 goals for the last 3 years. And back in the playoffs, even, I mean, he has 78 career games, 27 career goals in the playoffs. And the last 2 years that the Islanders made the playoffs, they got knocked out in the first round and he had 2 goals in each series. So Like, he's going to score in the playoffs. He has never not scored in the playoffs.
Yep.
It's just the biggest thing for me still is just the fact that he has not won a cup. And I know, again, I know that's not fair for Brock Nelson, but that is the thing that is missing on this team right now. We need somebody in the locker room who can go in there and say, we're game five, or we're down 3-1 in a series and we're trying to come back in a series. We need somebody that can stand up in the locker room and say, guys, we can do this. This is how we need to do it. Stand up, pull up your loins, gird up your loins, and let's freaking go. And I don't think Brock Nelson can necessarily do that. I don't know. Maybe he can. But I think Ryan O'Reilly would be better suited for that conversation in the locker room if we get to that point. And I'm being speculative, but that is so huge for me that they need somebody like that in the locker room.
I just don't buy all the rah-rah stuff, especially considering this Stars team has been to a conference finals 2 years in a row. How much more experience do you need? I mean, all these players have seen deep playoff runs back-to-back years. You should know what's going on. You should know how to act, and you should know how to win. So
the Stanley Cup leadership final that
the Stars have on the team, I just don't think leadership is where this team is lacking. I mean, we talk about how great the room is and all that stuff. Well, why do we need to add another leader to the room? If anything, it's like more cooks in the kitchen. So, I think it's more trying to replace what Joe Pavelski's was last year. I don't think you're going to do that. And I don't think we need to try to do that. What we need to do is we need to score goals. I think that is more important than trying to replace the leadership role that Joe Pavelski had, which you're not going to be able to do.
Yeah, I just, looking at how the playoffs have ended for the Stars in years past, it's always been not scoring enough. I mean, even back to the Flames series, not enough scoring. Regular season, it was kind of like we had three players who could score and then gone in the playoffs. And then you get to the next year and your scoring starts off great, and it dies off towards the end in the Vegas series. And then last year against the Oilers, I mean, the scoring, even against the Golden Knights early, the scoring was a problem. And I think that's where you need to focus more than anything. Someone who can score in the playoffs. Leadership's great and everything, sure. But you need, when it comes down to it, you need someone who can put the puck in the back of the net. And frankly, in the playoffs, our players haven't done that enough.
And that's why you're probably more on Nelson than you are on O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a good argument. I like your argument. Hey guys, have you tried Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? The NFL playoffs are here and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Pick 6 is super easy to play. Just select two or more players and choose whether they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. It's fun, simple, and you can win big. Best of all, Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and much more. And here's the kicker. DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in credits to keep the action going. Win more cash with Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
And if you want to talk about players you can put the puck in the net, and are the complete opposite of Brock Nelson and Ryan O'Reilly, you could bring up Mikael Granlund, who is having an exceptional season this year with the San Jose Sharks and only costs the low price of $4 million, who is also UFA this year. $5 million. My bad.
You're just obsessed with that guy, aren't you?
I love Mikael Granlund. He I don't know. He fits the
Dallas
Stars.
You're just like me with Ryan O'Reilly right now. It's right. Like you want him so bad to be a Dallas Star.
He fits the Dallas Stars, not in a great way. Like he plays the same style that the Stars play now. They're a smaller team that's aggressive on the puck, isn't necessarily going to hit you, but they're going to hound the puck, and they're going to get after it. And he's a guy who can score goals. And if you get Mikael Granlund, that gives you tons of room to try and find a second pair right-handed defenseman to allow Lyubushkin to play third pair role, which he would be a lot better at in the playoffs.
Yeah, and honestly, with it being the Sharks and it's a 1-year contract, you could get 50% retained on that.
You absolutely
very
could.
Much so.
And then you get even more. Yeah, who knows? That, maybe this is a sprinkle.
That's a
maybe
secondary.
That's a sprinkle.
That's
this is our third player
secondary.
Talek Lizzy does not agree with you at all, Chris. Granlund has been awful since coming back from injury, but that's to be expected.
Did he just score last night?
Granlund sucks.
Capital I thought he just scored.
Sucks. And then Ardell, Granlund is having a good year on an awful team. There's been several players this year that have kind of been that way. They just had really good years on terrible teams. So I'm not totally against the Granlund signing. I just don't know enough about the player yet or have done enough research into it to say yes or no yet.
It's definitely sexier, too. I mean, this isn't a guy who's had 30 goals a year like Nilsson has. I mean, he's currently on pace to have his best season.
And how many years does he have left on it? No, you said he's a UFA,
one.
Right?
He's UFA.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. So he's
you
just
don't gotta
like
make
Nilsson
room for him. He's going to be a true rental that, like James said, could have retained salary. You could get him for pennies.
Okay. I think Chris, you said you had some other players that you think might fit.
Oh
correct?
Yeah, we talked about. So still the main thing I think the Stars are going to do. It's not going to be one big forward. Well, I think that would be ideal. Like James is saying, if you could go find a superstar and put him on this team, I think that'd be fantastic. In reality, he doesn't exist this trade deadline. That player is not there. So what I think the Stars are going to do is they're going to get a forward who can add some goal potential, especially on the power play if they can. And then they're going to add another right-handed defenseman and try and do what Tanev did. They're not going to be able to do what Tanev did. Tanev was the perfect fit. He probably would have been the number one right-handed defenseman if he was on the team this year for the Stars. He'd be trying to play with Miro. But what the Stars need to do is they need to allow the best defenseman to be the best defenseman. When the playoff rolls around, I expect it's going to be Haskin and Harley and then Lindell and then whoever the Stars pick up on the right side. So that allows Lyubushkin to bump down to the third pairing spot, where his 5-on-5 time on ice numbers are already at right now, and it lets him be a penalty kill specialist with Lindell. It lets him do what Håkanpää did when he was at his best. Play low minutes 5-on-5 and take care of the PK time. So I think that is really what the Stars are looking for. With that in mind, may I introduce Exhibit A, Ivan Provorov from the Columbus Blue Jackets, who is another left-shot defenseman. But at this point, who cares? Our top three defensemen are left-shot. Might as well add another one.
Why not?
He's a UFA this
Dell can
year.
Can play his offside.
Yeah. He's 6.75. And, he eats a lot of minutes. He's a certified second-pair defenseman who can absolutely take care of that time that the Stars are likely to struggle filling, that they definitely did last year.
And he also, as of now, is on a team in the first wild card spot.
Yes, that is the other thing. If any of these guys in the Eastern Conference aren't going to be available until trade deadline day.
Yeah. And as a completely, you know, non-biased thing, I want to see Columbus in the playoffs so badly. Like, I really, truly do. Like, just for their fans' sake, that would be such a cool story. From a realistic perspective, I like the move. I think that could or would be good for the Stars. It's just I don't know if I like the cap hit necessarily. I think that's a little bit of an overpayment. If you can get them to, I don't know, 30%, not necessarily 50%, but retain something. Again, it's just another lefty. And I know we were joking, well, Essa can play on his right side. Well, yeah, he can, but do you really want him to? he has had a ridiculous year. So I just don't necessarily know if that particularly makes any sense. I like Provorov and I like the player. It's a great idea. I just, the whole lefty thing and the cap hit.
All right, fine. So you want a right-handed guy.
Yes.
But you want him to be cheaper too, right?
I set you up, didn't I?
Well, let me introduce to you Rasmus Ristolainen.
Oh, no, that's worse.
He has got some interesting numbers when you go look at those weird sites that have weird letters and acronyms for stuff. What are those called? Advanced analytics sites. Those weird things. And advanced analytics don't like them. But what does he do? He holds the stick in a right-handed fashion, and he plays a lot of minutes. The other thing, he only costs $5 million, and, oh no, he's not a UFA this year. You got to eat two more years of him. But he's also on a bad Flyers team that's very likely not going to try and really push for it. So I think if you really want the right-handed defenseman and you want him for a decent price who can still eat minutes, it is Rasmus Ristolainen, even though all NHL fans, and especially Dallas fans, will hate that move because of his advanced analytics.
I don't even necessarily know a whole lot about him, to be completely honest with you, other than I have watched three Flyers games just here or there the last couple of years, and not even in full context, like not even the full game. And maybe that's not fair, but each time I've watched a Flyers game, he has stood out in the noticeable poorly. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just looking out for him, and I noticed the first game he was really bad, so I picked on him in the second and the third game over the last couple of years. But I really don't like that move at all. And when they got him from Buffalo, I even knew then that was a really bad move. And then they turned around and gave him $5 million. So just no. I mean, even at 2.5, I'm still like, no.
Yeah, I don't understand trying to replace Matt Dumba with Matt Dumba, but it's a good try.
Hey, that, at 2.5, he'd be cheaper, I guess, right?
If they retain half, yeah.
if they retain Dumba. Yeah,
exactly.
That's honestly another one, too. If you want to just trade Dumba for him and then give him a first-round pick for their troubles, that's legitimately a possibility. I don't think they'd take it, though.
He'd get more points than Dumba.
That's true.
We're
still waiting on the goal.
We are still waiting on the goal.
James, so you don't like Ristolainen.
Okay. Yeah. Who else you got?
What about what his first name's all right? Right? Like Rasmus? That's a pretty cool name. What about Rasmus Anderson?
That one I like.
The Calgary Flames. A little bit more of under the radar kind of guy. And he's not really in his last year of UFA. So I don't know if a ton of people are really talking about him yet, but he eats a decent amount of minutes too. He's getting 16 to 18 minutes. He holds the stick with his right hand, and he only costs, how much does he cost?
$4.5 million.
Yeah, and that's,
and he's from the Flames, and that worked out last time.
Yeah, it did. Well, kind of. Tanev didn't want to stay, but how old is he? I think he's in his
28.
Really?
I don't know if that's someone that Calgary wants to give up.
That's the other thing I was thinking.
Because Calgary also is hanging around.
That's not even the biggest problem, though. Like, he's their, like, right-handed defenseman that's just going to stay there forever is what it seems like.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Yeah, so I think to pry him, would he be available at the right price?
Probably.
Maybe. But
he would be expensive.
Like, everyone is saying expensive. Probably need Calgary to fall out of contention. That Darren says Motto and Calgary will fall out eventually. I don't know. I said they were going to fall out like a month and a half ago, and they still haven't.
Rookie goaltender. It's just keeping them in.
Yeah, he's been ridiculous. But that one I love a lot more. Yes, I absolutely love that one more.
This one is also one that's going to cost you more. I think you could get Ristolainen for pretty cheap. You could probably hold on to Bork and Bischel and get Ristolainen somehow. If you want to get Rasmus Anderson, I don't think you're doing that. I think you're you're giving up Bork or Bischel.
Okay.
And a first.
Okay. Who was the first guy you mentioned again?
Provorov.
What do you think it would cost for Provorov? Because I think the contract's a little bit bad, so he might be able to get him for a little bit cheaper, but what do y'all think?
That would be interesting. I'm between...
He shoots left, so he's a lot cheaper.
Right, that's true. I didn't think about that. He's probably a first-round pick and a piece. I mean, look, Neil has done a good job of getting people to take one of our lower prospects than we have, so maybe he could get them to avoid Bork and Bischel, but even then, I think they're going to demand Bork or Bischel for Provorov.
Okay. What about for Ristolainen, if you think he's going to be that cheap?
I think you could get a second and one of our deeper prospects, and you could get Ristolainen.
So like a Stranges?
A Stranges, a Gavin White, something like that.
Okay. And then finally the last guy, Rasmus Anderson.
I think he's going to be Bork in a first, Bischel in a first, something like that.
That'd be expensive.
I think they'd want Bischel. Yeah, I think they do. You're trading for someone who is at the height of their career, at least right. Defenseman-wise, is right-handed.
He's in his prime.
Yeah. So,
and is playing big minutes for you.
They're going to want Bischel for sure for that.
Yeah, and that kind of gets us into another good conversation topic. The two prospects right now that the Stars have are Bork and Bischel. Below that is a vast chasm before you get to your next prospect.
Your next top prospect, you could say.
Sure, we'll say that. I think your next best prospect behind Bischel is playing for the Erie Colts. We can say that.
That's fair.
Yeah. So are you willing to give up Bork and Bischel to get somebody who can better help you win right now?
If they can score 30 goals a season, that'd Brock be my Nelson, stipulation.
Brock Nelson scoring 30 goals a season.
I understand.
Is that,
that
what you're saying?
I would
I don't think Brock Nelson
would first for Brock Nelson.
Oh no, absolutely not. No.
Yes,
no.
I would. For he's this team right now.
He's 34 though, James. Mm-hmm. I understand. Is saying something. That's a hot take. Yeah, I don't know if I would agree
35.
With that.
I haven't made up my mind on this one yet, so I shouldn't have come on a podcast. But either way, at some point, the Stars have to do something. You can't do what the Canes have done. You can't sit there in a good spot and not make an aggressive move and let your team fall off into obscurity. The Canes haven't fallen off. They've done a very good job. But you know what I mean. Their roster on paper has gotten worse. You can't let that happen to this team. So if you have the opportunity to do what James is saying, getting substantially better right now, you give up, I think, Bork for a player who can score now. I think Bork is going to score later. We don't know if he's going to be a top player. Like, we are pretty sure Stankoven's going to be. That we were pretty sure Haskin was going to be. That we were pretty sure Johnson was going to be. I think Bork is not in the same category as those players. I think that's a guy that is potentially worth using as your trade bait to get a player who can win you a cup right now when you're most primed to do it. And especially this season, it's not just, oh, we have a lot of good players around us now, let's do what we can. We have a lot of players around us and we are about to cheat. So if you're going to cheat, you got to go all in and do it.
It's not cheating. It's within the CBA, Chris.
The GM said it's not cheating, but man, does it feel like cheating? And that's what the Stars are doing. They're going to use the full extent of the rules. So you have to go all in on it, I think. And I think you got to give up Bork. My heart hasn't coming around to giving up Bischel, because I think he still does have the capabilities to be one of the best defensemen on this team. So my heart isn't there yet, but I think I'm heading that direction.
I wasn't not ready to lose another big defenseman.
Yeah.
Too soon.
I really think what this team is truly missing right now, and it just really sucks because freaking Seattle, is Jamie Oleksiak. If we had a Jamie Oleksiak type player, and I know he's left-handed still, but if we had somebody like that, or Stephen Johns, he was a right-handed defenseman who he was the the extra piece on the Patrick Sharp trade all those years ago. If we still had one of those guys, then I don't think we're talking about, maybe Tanev is never a Dallas Star. Maybe we're not talking about all of these other guys being a Dallas Star.
That exact thing is why Seth Jones is getting paid $9.5 million, because he's right-handed and he's a great defenseman. And there's not many of them. Like I know we jokingly said he'd be getting paid $6 million if he was left-handed. He's probably close to there. I mean, you don't take that kind of gamble on him if he's not a guy who's a unicorn. And there's just not as many of those second line right hand defensemen that are affordable.
I think James saw the same comment I did. Bork for Hudson.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that would be a very quick no right now. Now Hudson could just win the Calder this year and then never have a good NHL career. And Bork could be okay this year and go ridiculous for his
career.
That's
rookies, but. From the Canadians' perspective, you're not even gonna give an answer.
You don't entertain to that at all. Yeah, not even close. Okay, so the last thing I want to mention on this before we change it to the Who Cares segment for the evening, which James, I'll let you introduce that. By the way, if you ever want to make suggestions of what you would like to hear us argue about, the stupidest things in the world. Join the Discord. There's a channel there. You can make suggestions, and that's where we get a lot of our suggestions from.
Only unserious inquiries will be considered.
Yes, true.
The less serious, the better.
Yes, like corn chips. I still don't remember.
That was one of our best episodes.
That was cool. Probably one of my favorites. Yes, agreed. Okay. Anyways, in all reality, what do the Stars truly need more? Because goaltending, don't even have to worry about that, in my opinion. There's even if someone gets hurt, you still got Hellberg, right? The depth is there. James, be quiet. If you for on the defensive side, you've got Bischel, who could be the trade deadline acquisition for the Dallas Stars. So he could still come up, not necessarily in March, but maybe at the beginning of April, and be what Harley was 2 years ago. And then on the offensive side, there's still, Bork and Stankoven still could, take a step in the next couple of weeks, in the next couple of months, and they could be that missing piece, that missing chink in the armor and fill that breastplate there. But what do you think the Stars need more than anything? Do they need a top nine forward? Do they need a top four defenseman? Do they need both, or do they need nothing? What do you think?
If you had to pick one, it's a goal scorer, like James has been saying. It's someone who can put the puck in the freaking net, because that's how we've lost every single year.
James, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't fully sure coming into the episode, honestly, what we needed. At first, I thought good defenseman, best defenseman we can get. And the more I think about how the Stars have lost in the playoffs in past years, the more and more I think someone who can score in the playoffs. That's what you want. Goal scoring in the playoffs. None of that assist stuff. Don't care about that. They can have like 12 goals, zero assists. Don't care. That's who I want. I want the person who can score, because we have plenty of people to feed them the puck.
Duchesne, Robo has shown he's a playmaker recently. He's gotten a whole lot more assists lately. Hence, even can dish the puck.
Stankoven,
yeah, he's a disher too. I think I'm in agreement with you guys. As much as we complain about the defense, and especially about Matt Dumba and how he's played and how he has not lived up to that contract at all, and he has actually been worse than that, this team still sits second in the NHL in goals against. I know you have to give some of that to the goaltending. But when you look at the goaltending numbers, and it's not like Otter is like lights out and he's putting up hella buck numbers. He's very good. That's not to take away from Jake Oettinger. I should say that right off the bat. But the fact that you've got the defense the way it is, they have exceeded expectations, and I think they have shown that they can hold the fort in the playoffs. That is my belief.
Yeah.
And you've got a whole lot of depth that you can trust in. If something happens, injury-wise. I mean, again, Bischel, Petrovic, Capobianco. I mean, any of those three guys could fill in a pinch. I truly believe. I am right with you guys there in the fact that the last 2 years, and especially game six against the Oilers when they were going and they were just downhill and they had all the chances, McDavid does McDavid things, and that's the only difference in the game in game six that keeps us out of the Stanley Cup final. What if you had that one guy that could get you that one goal? And I don't know if Brock Nelson is the answer. That's kind of where I'm leaning towards at this point, yeah, because it sounds like he's more available than Ryan O'Reilly. But I'm with you on the whole goal scoring thing. They need somebody who can – you can never have enough people that can score goals.
Before we finish, pick two. You got to get two players. Who are they?
Brock Nelson and Granlund. I want to just full out go for forwards. Don't care.
I'm probably saying Nelson and Anderson. I talked myself into Anderson.
What I really want is O'Reilly and Nelson. I know that's not going to happen, but I'll do Nelson. Could. I'll do Nelson could. And Anderson.
I think you could fit Nelson and O'Reilly. I think that is a legitimate possibility.
Again, you'd have to put Sagan on LTIR, you know, and
well,
then
Sagan's going on LTIR. He's going on LTIR, and yep. I am 95% sure he's coming back game one of the playoffs.
Okay, I hope you're right. So then I guess I'll stick with that. Nelson and O'Reilly. How about that?
Do it.
Okay. All right. Nelson and O'Reilly.
James, all what right. are we doing?
What we got? Who cares?
All right. Let me pull up the Discord message because we did get this from the Discord today. This is Matthew saying to do hockey video games. Now, we're going to shorten that to just hockey games because video games, I don't know if I've played that many hockey video games, but hockey games. That is the Who Cares segment. Top three, whoever is leading this, go ahead.
Number third is NHL Hits. That game was awesome. Y'all remember NHL Hits? They did the 3-on-3 thing with the giant bubble head guys. When you hit somebody, they like exploded up into the air. That game was fantastic. I think it was on the PlayStation 2.
It was on the Xbox 2, I think.
That there wasn't an Xbox 2. There was only an Xbox. That was a great game.
You're an idiot, Chris.
Backyard hockey. Yes. Didn't it have like the skills competition too?
I think it did, yes.
Where you like shot it at the windows of the skyscrapers and stuff.
Yes.
Man,
yes.
What a fun game. That's just fun.
All right. My number third is it's not a video game, so I guess I'll give it to the I don't even know what to call it, the bubble hockey. You know what I'm talking about. The little
Super Checks bubble hockey.
Yeah, yes, okay. I do. Thank you.
In the warm spectator areas of your local Star Center.
Well, it's more often found at like the, you know, obviously in the north where, but you don't really see him very much at the Star Centers anymore. But I remember playing one a long time ago. I don't even remember where it was. I think it might've been at the Valley Ridge Star Center way back in the day, like back in the late 90s, early 2000s. But that's my number third. It was very close to my number two. James.
All right. My number third is NHL 2008, because that's the one that we always played when we were little. I didn't play it for very long because I stink at hockey video games. I would get destroyed. Travis, our younger brother, youngest, who was like 5, would beat me. And I would get so upset, and I decided then that I was not going to play any more NHL video games, which is why I changed the Who Cares segment a bit.
Well, hey, hold on. He's right here. Let me ask him. Hey, Travis, do you remember playing NHL 2008 and beating up on James? He remembers 15 and 16, but not 2008. But do you at least remember whipping up on James?
That's how pitiful it was, because Travis beat James and Travis didn't even have the awareness to beat him.
Yeah.
To remember beating him.
All right. Okay. Chris.
And my number two is NHL 08. That's a fantastic choice, James. Best hockey video game that has ever been released. And that's absolutely debatable because they're almost all the same. But absolutely, it absolutely has the best soundtrack. Go listen to the NHL 08 soundtrack. It is unreasonably fantastic. There's no reason for them to go that hard, and yet they did.
My turn?
It is your turn.
Okay, I'm going to show my age here a little bit. Ardell, you're going to have to help me out here, and you're going to have to help me convince Chris and James here. I'm going to go way back. Okay? Wayne Gretzky 3D Hockey is my number two on the Nintendo 64. That game I could play for hours. And I still, even to this day, still remember opening up the, you know, the start screen or whatever you wanted to call it. And just the way that he said it just gave me chill bumps. Wayne Gretzky, 3D Hockey. Oh, my goodness. I love that game so much. It was, again, I kept jumping up and down with all of my hockey games. But I have a number one that could not be surpassed. So.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if they did what they did with Madden for hockey? And it was just
Gretzky
03.
Yeah.
That would be sweet.
That is a great idea. That is a great idea, Chris. Like,
I claim the intellectual property. That's mine. If anyone steals that, I'm going to sue you.
You hear that, EA Sports? You hear that?
Yeah, listen to that, EA, you money grubbers.
Okay, James.
All right, so my number second is going to be air hockey, because I like air hockey. It's arguably not hockey at all, to be fair.
Pretty not arguably. You could call air soccer, and that'd be just as correct.
Yeah, but, you know, this one I have a lot of fun with. I like watching the puck shoot around the thing over and over again. I'll just bang it against the walls intentionally just to see it move faster and faster.
It is mesmerizing.
I had a former coworker and at my last job as a band director, and every time we went to some sort of arcade place wherever, which was several times a year, obviously, with, you know, junior high and high school kids, we always had to stop at an air hockey table. It was just like a tradition. And in the 4 years that I worked with him, he never beat me once. There was literally one time, you know how it, how seven is like that, that's the last goal, right? First to seven wins normally. Well, there was literally one time I was down 6-0 and I came back and I won 7-6. And so he just never beat me. It was just a tradition of ours.
Trash. All right.
Number one.
Number one is Super Checks Bubble Hockey. That is the best, I don't know what you call that kind of game, arcade game, I guess you would call it. It is fantastic. And it is unlike other games, too. Like, the closest you could call it to is foosball, but it's not really like foosball. Like foosball, you kind of just fling the thing and hit it as hard as you can. There's a lot of moving parts going on in this Super Checks table, a lot more dexterity. There's playmaking. There is playmaking in Super Checks Bubble Hockey. It is impressive. And it's just an impressive feat of engineering as well. I mean, you look at that table, that thing is crazy. That thing is awesome. They're like $5,000 to get a really nice one. And one is absolutely going to be in my house in the future. I don't care how poor I am. It's going to be there at some point. That is an end-life goal.
Yeah, it's just going to be you and Ellie living in a shack with, like, no running water or electricity, yes. And just in the center of the room.
Yes. We will put in a bucket, but we will have the Super Check stable.
Okay.
I'm going to jump over Ryan just because that is also my number one.
Yes. Great choice.
Because, I mean, that's the closest hockey game that I can find that I actually enjoy playing. So
really? Okay. I will give honorable mentions for a second. Okay. I didn't even think about it. Backyard hockey. Absolutely. Yes. That should have been in my top three, but I didn't think about it until who was it that mentioned it?
Don't remember.
Someone
in chat. Going crazy.
Yeah. and then I'll also give it to NHL 14, 2014, because 2014 basically changed the entire way that they played the game. That's when they added in like skill stick and stuff like that, where you could use both the analog sticks to do all the dangles and stuff like that.
Would have hated that.
Yes, that game was legit, and it really changed how video game playing was. But Chris, your number three is my number one. NHL hits specifically 2002. And part of it is, yes, it was just a fantastic game, but it there's also a little bit of nostalgia in it as well. I still remember when I was a kid, in 2002, we went to Corpus, where our grandparents lived at the time, and we were there for Christmas. And I remember opening the Xbox. That's how old I am. Yes, everyone who's, you know, Gen Z. Opening the Xbox, and then also pulling, you know, opening the game as well, and realizing it was an NHL game. And I don't know why I remember this, but one of the players that was on the Dallas Stars in NHL Hits 2002 was Donald Audette. And I don't know why I still remember that, but for some reason I remember that. Maybe because he was a smaller guy. I know he was a smaller guy and he used to play for the Montreal Canadiens. That's it. And like, I haven't even thought about that guy's name until literally tonight when I was trying to come up with my three. So that's my number one. I love that game so much. I wish I still owned it. There's got to be somewhere I can find and play it. So
we got to bring back these arcade versions of the sports games. I mean, we had NHL Hits. There was NBA Jam. There was that baseball game. Y'all remember that baseball game? I can't remember what the name was. But it was nuts.
I was bad at sports games.
You could like charge the mound and punch the dude in the face. You hit home runs literally through the stadium windows. It was nuts. We got to bring those types of games back. We got to try them again.
Quick question for you. And maybe y'all don't really care all that much. What would you think about like 2K taking over like NHL, like hockey, NHL hockey games instead of EA Sports?
The reason 2K didn't work is because they just tried to beat EA by making the same game that EA made. And they just tried to do the exact same thing. You don't do that. You do the arcade thing. Make it 3v3, make their heads comically large, and make them hit people out of the rink. That's what we need.
I think you need both, to be honest with you, especially with the way...
You need both, but you don't need two of the same.
Yes,
one game that's more accurate to the actual sport, and then you need one game that's just hilariously ridiculous.
And there's a lot of people that like to play the franchise mode, which I like. I love the franchise mode.
Is pretty solid.
It's a lot of fun. And they've expanded it year after year after year, and you can like do all sorts of crazy stuff now. It's a lot of fun. But the thing I don't like about EA Sports is that since 2014, it has not changed very much. Like in 10 years, in terms of like how the game is played, and they haven't made any huge giant changes to it to further the whole gaming experience for NHL. And I know they don't really care about the NHL because it's not a huge moneymaker for them. It's more about Madden and it's more about NBA and stuff like that. But I really wish they would try a little bit harder with the NHL game to try and add something to it. And I know they did. Like they added the Michigan goal, the possibility to do the Michigan goal and stuff like that. But still,
and they added like 20 different sellies. So that's fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. So that's just me. I would like to give 2K a shot, and I love the idea of bringing back NHL Hits. That would be so much fun. I can't even tell you how excited I am for something like that. But
once again, thank you, Matthew from Discord, for the suggestion.
And join the Discord. It is 100% free to join, and we talk about random crap there all the time.
Most of the time, there's someone in the current game chat while Stars games are going that they're typing in there. So
pretty much every game, if it's not one of us, at least.
Yep. It's, Ardell's in there, and we see Nathan there every once in a while, and Rye Guy, I guess, is in there quite a bit, too. I try to be in there as much as possible as I can, but... You know, switching between taking notes and, doing social media posts and doing Discord, kind of tough, but I try. So, okay, I think that's it. I guess we'll be back with you guys on Friday. Who are we playing on Friday?
The Golden Knights, ESPN Plus again.
I think it's on ESPN this time, not Plus. Oh, we're on the national televised program.
We've arrived, boys. We've arrived.
Same play-by-play, by the way.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. It's a.
I think I complained about it last night, but I was just pissed off in general. So
yeah, I'm kind of there too.
Hey, it's better than listening to a certain, you know, what's her name is. I don't want to say her name too, but
like, I don't mind her.
I can't.
She's gotten slightly better.
Well, she's doing the sideline reporting stuff now. She's much better at that.
That's fine. I and it's I just, we're not going to get into that.
Yeah, we need move on. Close the show. We're at 110.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening along live with us. We appreciate it. There's even more of you that are listening afterwards. If you're listening on the audio side, please consider leaving us a 5-star review, wherever that may be. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Mars Podcasts, wherever you may be listening, please leave us a 5-star review. StarcasticRemarks.com is the website. That's the latest information where you can find us. And every once in a while, we like to put up blog posts as well. I should mention this too. Go and check out Chris and all of his 100 Degree Hockey stuff. He's putting up a lot more articles up there. And he's doing a fantastic job with all of that stuff. And if you're watching here on YouTube, please click like and subscribe. And as always, click the notification bell so you never miss an episode when we go live. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook, Pick 6 option, THPN is the promo code. Alongside James, alongside Chris, my name's Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you all have a fantastic morning, afternoon, evening. Whenever you guys are listening, we'll be back with you guys on Friday when the Stars take on the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night, everybody.